Welcome to the Artist Mother Podcast, featuring interviews with incredible working artists who are also mothers and compelling conversations regarding parenting and the art world. These conversations create a space for inclusivity and support for artist mothers worldwide. I'm Kaylin Butine, painter, mom of three, and podcast host. I'm so grateful you are tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
I think our culture doesn't value rest. And, you know, in a way, we're kind of living like an anti-capitalistic lifestyle up here. You know, we don't run around a lot. I particularly don't like, you know, schedule a lot of extracurricular activities. Like, I feel like our whole life is extracurricular, you know, like, and I have to trust in that. And we value in this culture, like, a very productive, extroverted way of being. But so many people are introverted too. And like, those people, that way of life doesn't get valued. And it's very common. We push ourselves to be extroverted sometimes, when we could just be, you know, honest with ourselves and just like, yeah, walk without talking with your friend. Sometimes we're just filling space, I feel like.
I'm so pleased to welcome Mira Burek to the Artist Mother Podcast today. Mira is an artist living in the mountains of New Mexico on the unceded land of the Pueblo people. She received an MFA from Cranbrook Academy of Art and a BA in Studio Art and Psychology from Pepperdine University. Mira was born in Boston, Massachusetts, and grew up on the coast of Maine. Her work has been exhibited nationally and internationally at the Q Art Foundation in New York City, the School of the Art Institute of Chicago, the New Mexico Museum of Art, Cranbrook Art Museum, the Media Knox Gallery in Slovenia, among many others. She has lectured, taught workshops, and was a faculty member at the College of Creative Studies. She received a Community and Public Arts Detroit grant for the Edible Hut, a community space with a living, edible roof. And in 2020, she was selected for the Women to Watch exhibition at the National Museum for Women in the Arts and nominated for a Joan Mitchell Foundation Painters and Sculptors Grant. I'm so thrilled to welcome Mira on to talk about her life and how rest and sleep are focal points in her artist's career currently. Mira, thank you so much for being here and welcome to the Artist Mother Podcast.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here and to talk with you.
Yes, I'm so happy to have this conversation and just to learn from you and be, you know, in connection with you across the miles, right?
I know. It is wonderful to reconnect after seeing each other in New Mexico, too.
I know. We first met a little over a year ago now when I went out. I had curated an exhibition with Sarah Irvin that you were in, a New Mexico Artist Mother exhibition at Casa Otro in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And yeah, it's just crazy. I remember like meeting you and loving your work and just being like, oh, she is like one of the artists that I just got to make sure I talk to. And, you know, we had this like good long conversation. We each had a glass of wine. We weren't worried about, I don't know, wearing masks and being too close to each other. Remember that life?
Yeah, I know. That was literally weeks before everything shut down.
Yeah, it was right before. Yeah, it was crazy. And your kiddo was there, right? One of your kids? Wasn't your daughter there? She was only like...
Both my kids, yeah.
Or both your kids were there, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was an adventurous weekend to take them both on my own without my husband and take them to all these art events. And but it was super fun, and I'm so grateful that we got to meet in person.
Me too. And I definitely think we're going to meet in person again, don't you think?
Me too.
You're always
welcome here anytime you want.
Well, I definitely plan to come back to New Mexico. That's for sure. It's a magical place. Okay, Mira, tell me about something in your childhood that you feel like connects to your artist life today. Maybe, you know, like something like a memory that you have that you feel like kind of pulls you back. I don't know. I'm just curious, like, have you always wanted to be an artist, or was that something that you happened upon later in life?
Yeah, I love reflecting on this. You know, I had really deeply spiritual and thoughtful parents, and they made a lot of space in our childhood for quiet and yoga and meditation and alternative thinking. And I think that has definitely like influenced my work in so many ways. And since, you know, we're going to be talking a lot about rest and sleep and how that's figured into my work, I mean, I was thinking about this question. And, you know, when I became a teenager, my father embarked on a journey to return to his Jewish roots. And then we suddenly started celebrating the Shabbat from every Friday night through Saturday as a day of complete rest. 24 hours of no work, no cooking, no TV, no driving, no turning on and off electricity.
Wow.
And essentially, yeah.
Like really intensely honoring it.
It was, yeah. And this, and the way it was described to me, which these words really stuck in my mind by my father, was like, there should be like no transfer of energy on the Shabbat.
Oh, wow.
You know, which like, if you think about that, that's like an amazing statement. You know, we had our lights on timers. We had the oven set to warm with food that had been prepared in advance. And we spent the day just relaxing with each other, reading, you know, eating good food, celebrating just like being with each other. We would take naps, we would go for walks. And it was such a formalized way of resting. And I, you know, looking back, I just think it really has influenced my lifestyle with my own family. And now it's been almost 20 years of exploring the site of the bed and the legacy of sleep in my work. So I definitely think, you know, that's just like one example that came to mind.
Yeah, that's a huge one though.
Yeah. It was very impactful. And that was such a, you know, such a formative time in your life. So I think, you know, it just really shaped something in me. And I, you know, to answer your question about being an artist, I really didn't consider being an artist until I went to college. I was always interested in fashion and textiles and like cutting things out of magazines, but I never really called it art. And I even went into college studying psychology, and then like halfway through, I decided to add visual art as a double major. And and then years later, when I went to graduate school, I really felt at home in the history of fiber and textiles. So I went back to Cranbrook for that. And so in some ways, I think art has just has been a channel for me to just explore these mysteries of daily life and their kind of healing and restorative properties. And so that's where like the psychology and the visual art have really come together for me, I guess.
That makes so much sense. And just like knowing the little bit that I know of you now, I can definitely see how that has been a journey for you. Like you seem so grounded, you know, and so just having this perspective of pulling these threads like all the way through is just really beautiful. I also, I'm just fascinated by this idea of like no transfer of energy. Like, like, cause I think about energy so much and I'm a very like high energy person. I really struggle with rest. So I'm interested to have this conversation with you. Cause I think we're going to be, you know, representing some different sides of the coin maybe. But I just, I don't know, like when I think of a day of rest, like there is, or maybe not a day of rest, but a day of like enjoyment with my family. Like we usually do stuff like we go hiking or we go on a long bike ride, or like there's a, there is definitely a transfer of energy and that's really enjoyable to me. But then sometimes I think I like, it's like I to me, that's still productive, right? Because I'm moving my body and I am transferring energy. And so I'm just, it just made me think, like, can I have space where I don't transfer any energy? Like, is it possible for me? I don't know.
I know that's kind of an unfathomable concept, but I think he was trying to tell me, like, because I was trying to understand, like, what constitutes work, mm-hmm. you know? And I think he was thinking of, like, a mechanical transfer of energy, mm-hmm. like, explain to me, like, how the, you know, we were going to deal with the lights and the right. cooking and, like, things like that. But somehow, like, you know, like, you're, you know, going outside and, you know, I guess not exercise. I mean, they wouldn't call it exercising, right. but, you know, moving your body was completely acceptable. And even like making love and having sex on the Shabbat was like expected.
Oh,
like,
okay. That was, see, I would have yeah. thought that that would not be. Okay. So yeah. it is more the like pleasure and enjoyment and the things that kind of connect to rest, you know, that maybe aren't the product of productivity, but that are just, what does my natural body want to be doing and experiencing right now?
Yeah.
Mm,
yeah.
That's so nice. Yeah.
And it is supposed to be a very enjoyable time. And mm-hmm. I think in the beginning, it was hard for me as like a high energy, like adolescent mm-hmm. to like, you know, see this as enjoyable. Mm-hmm. But I think in hindsight, I actually like it seeded something pretty deep.
Mm. Well, I might have to convert to Judaism. I don't know. okay, Mira, can you describe your art for someone who maybe has not yet seen it visually? You can talk about what it looks like and a little bit about the mediums and processes that you use.
Sure. You know, my life and my art practice are you know, is really intentionally interwoven and integrated. So I always begin with the materials in my immediate environment. And that could be plants, textiles, animals, my family. And then the spaces around us where the most meaningful life experiences are happening, the bed, the landscape, the table, and the home. And, you know, this can take form in large-scale immersive installations with, you know, dried botanicals, with intricate photography collages. My photography collages are often of textiles and usually specifically photographs of blankets and bedding from my family. And I also make found object and soft sculptures. And then I also create communal experiences where we can really share around ideas around comfort, intimacy, rest, pleasure, healing, and connection to the land. Hmm. I mean, in addition, some of these communal experiences have been, I actually have held some rest workshops on the land where we live.
Mm-hmm.
Which people have the opportunity to come here in a small group and really talk about their sleep experiences, both the challenges and the pleasures. And then we go out into the landscape and rest and then come back and reflect on that and what it was like to lay on the ground and feel all those different sensations in the middle of the day. And so this is definitely links back to my psychology background, was just really, you know, making discrete objects and spaces is very satisfying on one level, but I really also want to connect and deepen our relationships with each other and the types of things we talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that like veil of what is communal and what is like personal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And most of your, like the large 2D pieces that you work with typically are photo collage, right?
Yeah. In a lot of cases, they also can be like painted surfaces with dried plants around them. Or, you know, I've worked with animal feathers from animals that we've lived with.
So it really, really does take any form. I guess I just was more familiar with the bedding collage, but sounds like, I mean, exactly like you said in the beginning, just whatever is available to you is what you're going to utilize, which is so beautiful.
Yeah, and I love blurring that line between our interior lives and our exterior lives and not seeing them as like separate things. So bringing rest and the land together.
I love that.
Yeah.
Okay, Mira, just kind of so people can get an understanding of who you are a little better, I'm just curious, outside of your art career, who are you? Do you work another job? Like, talk maybe a little bit about your kids and your roles and responsibility. Like, what's your family life like?
Yeah, I have two young children. My son Levi is 8 and my daughter Flora is 2. And my husband and my best friend he's a musician and a woodworker. And we have a lot of different creative spaces at our home. And we kind of just organically move between them. We might be like having a jam session in our garage at one point, or a dance party. There's lots of music and dance and sound lives. And then also just being outdoors. We live rurally in the mountains in New Mexico on 30 acres. And we live in an earthship, which is a form of eco-architecture that was born in northern New Mexico.
Wow.
So we, you know, it's really quiet here, and we spend a lot of time learning from the history of this unique high desert landscape. We've only been here, it's going on 7 years now, so it still feels very new coming from the city before this. And so we're just really interested in the history of the land. We live in an area that was gold mined for centuries. We're always learning about the plants, and, you know, we're more likely to hear like howling coyotes than we are any other humans.
Yeah.
and you know, I made a decision. I used to work for nonprofit arts organizations through a lot of my career in conjunction at the same time I was making work. And when we moved out here, it felt really right to just figure out how to just live as simply as possible in this landscape and just be able to focus my professional skills on my own work and process, which was a huge risk and just so deeply satisfying and rewarding that, you know, I am able to just, you know, live a very fluid, organic lifestyle right now, which I feel really lucky to be able to do.
Do you homeschool your kids?
Well, my son Levi is in school. There's a local charter school about a half an hour from us.
Okay.
And he's had like a really good experience there. And we've certainly considered homeschooling, and I kind of feel like we're in more of the like unschooling kind of realm.
Yeah.
like my son is just a really self-directed child that always is starting his own projects and creating things. Mm-hmm. And, in some ways I feel like, you know, he could just do that if for some reason we get to the point where, the school isn't meeting our needs. And then my daughter is only 2, so she's just home.
Yeah.
But we definitely, could easily in the lifestyle that we live right now be at home full time.
Well, at least you have some options where you are that you feel comfortable with, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We do feel like lucky that there's a kind of progressive school nearby.
Yeah. Talk to me about that. Just experience from living in, you know, Boston. And then I know you lived in Detroit for a long time. And then shifting, you know, gears kind of completely and going in one of the lowest populated states, like out in the country, you know, in the desert. It's just funny because I've lived rurally almost my whole life, and we just moved, you know, to a small city, but we live in a neighborhood. Like, we can basically see into our neighbors' houses, you know, like we kind of changed gears also recently, but in a you know, the opposite direction, I guess. But just curious to hear a little bit about that shift for you and your family, and like how you and your husband made that decision. I guess you just had your son. He must have been a baby when you moved. Like, well, why New Mexico?
Well, my mother was really the trailblazer that led us out here. She's been out here for 15 years, and she lives a mile down the road from us. So we have this beautiful family compound, actually. And it, in this time, also, both my brothers have found property nearby. And so we literally have, like, a 9-person pod, especially in the past year, that is all family, which is amazing. But yeah, my whole adult life, I lived in different cities, from, you know, Los Angeles and New York, and then Detroit. And, but at, I had, in my formative high school years, we moved to Maine, to an island, and we're very rural.
Oh, wow.
And so I got a taste of rural life for those 4 years, and I loved it. Mm. I mean, I loved, like, I felt like I finally understood something about myself, like how being close to the land, like, makes me feel smarter and more in tune with myself. Mm-hmm. And so, even when I was living in New York, like, I would search, like, I would walk to the East River, you know, 45 minutes in the morning, just to, like, connect with a body of water in a quiet space. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's definitely, even though we moved from the city, I actually think I feel much more at home in a rural environment. Mm-hmm. And it did feel like coming home in a way. So it was not a hard transition for me. Yeah. My husband feels a little different, actually. Mm. Like, he misses the convenience and the, you know, the cultural community. But we're, you know, we're only 45 minutes from Santa Fe and an hour from Albuquerque. So we can really get to a, you know, really populated, thriving community pretty easily, which I do appreciate sometimes. And, but it is I do feel like place affects my work so much too. And I kind of feel like it does affect everybody in subtle ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just interesting. I'm just kind of reflecting on my own relationship with living rurally. I grew up on a cabin that my dad built by hand, like on 80 acres in the woods of New York, you know, and that, like, we lived there for the first 16 years of my life, and it was so formative for me. Like, I would, you know, just walk the woods alone, like, play under the apple trees. And But then the sort of the calling that I feel like you're talking about, I almost feel like I have that for cities. Like, and I don't know if it's just because I haven't truly lived in, like, a big city. Like, I've just always wanted that, like, experience. But, like, I crave, you know, going to New York and getting lost on the subway and just being in the rhythm and the energy. And I don't know. But then I'm like, but do I also crave the land, like, in the same way? Like, I'm always itching to, like, get to a park and, you know, lay in the grass. And it's just interesting. I'm just kind of trying to, like, mull through my experience. But of course, you know, we can both and can exist, as we know.
Right. I mean, I think at different points in our lives, we want different things. And sure, when I was living in New York, I loved every minute, and most of the time, I think, especially having young children, made me want to, like, slow down the pace and, like, be really present in a different kind of way. And I wanted, when my son was born and we were in Detroit in the inner city, like, I just wanted him to be able to run free, you know? Mm-hmm. And I knew that wasn't going to happen there. So I guess freedom has got something to do with all this.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so switching gears a little bit, but I feel like this is all so connected, just kind of talking about, you know, moving inward and reflection and our bodies and the land and just natural rhythms. I brought you on the podcast to have you talk about your practice and you know, just this idea of rest and sleep and how artist mothers, I mean, all human beings, but I want to say especially artist mothers, you know, we need this like certain level of attention to these things because so much pulls us away from, you know, focusing on our natural rhythms and ourselves. And so, you know, I'm taking for the whole artist mother community, I'm promoting that everyone takes a sabbatical in July, or if folks don't want to join us, that we're at least taking a sabbatical as an artist mother community, as a staff member. We're not going to be like doing any podcasting or promoting anything. We're not going to be working. Like my staff and I, you know, we're like, we're still going to text, right? And it's like, yeah, but like, we're going to have that space, you know, kind of. And I just feel like this idea of like Sabbath and breaks and, you know, kind of having some mental clearing out is so important for artists. I know so many artists who do like bouts of this. So it just felt really good to like have this be a part of our community rhythm. And so I wanted to bring you on because you are so knowledgeable and like you've been studying these practices for so long, kind of as we enter into this season. And I guess I'm just curious to have you start this conversation by like, where did you begin sort of intentionally bringing this into your work? I know you already talked about, you know, what in your childhood sort of inspired it, but like, when did you start taking photographs of your bed, you know, and really thinking about rest and sleep as like a way to shape your art practice?
Yeah, I love that you're doing this with the Artist Mother Network, like that you're encouraging this sabbatical and really going to explore that, mm-hmm. you know, that's super exciting. Yeah, in my work, I mean, I think being drawn to the history of textiles, which is really like the history of the everyday mm-hmm. and the history of the home and the history of our bodies. All of this sort of connection to the tactile qualities of soft materials and the warmth and the comfort. I mean, I remember before graduate school, like just like really casually just making these tiny little beds out of old pillows and just being so excited about them. And I'm trying to like get my portfolio together for graduate school. And I just got stuck on these little beds I was making. And I realized like they were just like a metaphor for like my most deepest concerns, mm-hmm. which was this like intersection of materiality, relationships, and consciousness. And the bed was like this bridge between like the physical world and the invisible worlds. Mm-hmm. And so, we spend a third of our lives in bed asleep. That's super significant. Mm-hmm. And yet we don't talk about it a lot. And it's so mysterious. I mean, even scientists are still uncovering so much about why we need that much sleep as human beings. And so, I'm just infatuated with mm-hmm. subject and also the what emanates out from it and like the heart of it. I probably could just see like exploring this in one way or another for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I mean, it is such a touchstone topic, you know, like a foundational thing to really think about. And yet, I don't know, it's like something I never thought about exploring in my work because it is so foundational maybe, or like so common, but yet, you know, it's one of those things that like when you can turn the focus in, it's just like so much can open up, you know, like any physical or spiritual practice that you can be in this, I'm just going to go through the motions and, you know, like food, for example, I'm just going to go through the motions and use food as fuel, you know, and not really think about it. Or you can, you know, really turn inward and have this spiritual experience with what you're eating and eat with intention and care and passion, you know? So good.
The Artist Mother Virtual Retreat tickets are now live. Yay! Last year, when we wanted to host an in-person retreat but couldn't because of COVID-19, we went virtual. I was a little skeptical about how this was gonna go and how it was gonna work exactly, but let me tell you, like I always am when artist mothers are in tangible connection, I was blown away by the magic and the shared energy and experience of that weekend. Last year's was hosted in October, and we decided right then that we had to make this an annual thing. So we hope you can join us in June for our second Artist Mother Virtual Retreat. The weekend is June 12th and 13th, and it's packed full of workshops, lectures, artist talks, and just different experiences that we'll walk through together as we hold space and share time. You can expect a workshop from Penny Lane Shen, the amazing art consultant. She's going to be sharing about showing and selling your work. Barbara Campbell Thomas and Diana Gravino will be sharing an embodied art making somatic approach to studio time, movement, and materiality workshop that I can't wait for. We're going to have artist talks from Jiha Moon, a Korean American artist living in Atlanta, Georgia, and Amy Lincoln, a New York-based artist who makes imaginative, intensely hued paintings of the natural world. Amy Branch Lambert is going to be giving us a workshop on mothering ourselves, having an intense, radical self-compassion. I can't wait for that one. And last but not least, we're going to have an awesome, tangible workshop about making natural dyes. Danila Remold, a New Mexico-based artist mother, is going to show us how to work with natural dyes made from kitchen materials like avocados, onion skins, cabbage, and black beans. And we're actually going to use some of those materials to make some recipes that we'll be munching on throughout the weekend. So I hope you can join us. This is just a wonderful, affordable way to experience a lot of content at once and to share space with artist mothers. You can book yourself a hotel for the workshop. You can send your family to the in-laws. You can lock yourself in your room and just have a sense of space and self for the weekend. You could get together with a few other artist mothers and book a cabin in the woods. There's lots of ways to experience the retreat, but we hope to see you there. It's just a wonderful time, and I can't emphasize enough just how much magic there is when we all come together and are experiencing the same things together. There'll be breakout rooms where you get to join together in smaller groups and meet other artist mothers in a more small group basis too. So again, tickets are now available at artistmotherpodcast.com. You can click the retreat button and that'll take you to all the information, including the schedule for the retreat and the place where you can buy your tickets. We hope to see you there on June 12th and 13th.
Okay, so Mira, you're going to kind of walk me through some like good practices for facilitating rest and, you know, how we can as artist mothers just like focus on more sleep. So just to begin, like what rituals and materials do you use to facilitate your rest?
Yeah. You know, the first thing that always comes to mind is like fresh air and like the temperature of a room. Mm-hmm. Like I find I'm more restful in a cooler space, but I think that every body is different. And mm-hmm. so I think just paying attention to that is, and you know, like I love to like open a window in the wintertime and like get the fresh air. I think it's the part of me that like wants the outside to be inside with me too. Mm-hmm. And in terms of sleep, like preparing for going to sleep at night, I mean, I really keep a very sparse bedroom, free of clutter and technology. And even I keep very little books. And it's so much more a space that is about nurturing the senses. So, you know, I have a jasmine plant, which is supposedly a scent that facilitates sleep. You know, I really like soft sheets. I have a couple different essential oils by my bed, one that's a pinion, like really grounded woody scent. And then I have a lavender. And then I have Ylang Ylang, which is just very sensual.
Do you diffuse them or do you use them in other ways?
No, sometimes I just take a smell before I lay down. Other times, I guess it depends on the essential oil. Like I might put a little dab right under my nose or, on my temples and, or I'll just drop a little bit on my pillow and, you know, I think all those things just really ground me for this like horizontal experience. And then if I have trouble, like if I feel challenged by like quieting my mind, I have this buckwheat pillow that I keep in the freezer and I put it on my eyes and somehow the heaviness of the buckwheat and it kind of really sinks into your eye sockets. Like it just feels really quieting to my body. What else? I don't know. Occasionally I do a little self-massage before I sleep, like just like massaging my hands if I was on the computer a lot, or my neck and head a little bit, or just like rubbing, you know, some nice oil on my body.
What about mentally? Like how do you get your mind, you know, ready for good rest?
Well, I do have to, like, I find the nights where I really limit the technology before I go to sleep, I'm able to quiet a lot easier. I do think that there is, like, our minds just get really overstimulated by technology. And, of course, there are the days that that's, like, my only time to do work. And so I have to do that. But, I mean, sometimes it just takes, like, just being really patient with myself and just like laying there. And occasionally if my mind is running, I maybe I'll write a little bit to kind of get it out, but like write with a pen and paper. I do think that that, you know, kind of releases something. I can kind of let go of it and know it's there tomorrow if I need it.
I love that. What about with your kids? Like, how are you kind of creating space for your children and your family to think about rest and, you know, stillness. I mean, I love, you know, again, back to this memory of you as a child, like your parents facilitating this for you. But I'm just wondering how you and your partner are, you know, bringing up your children in a way that you feel like is helping them experience these values.
Yes. Oh, this is so important. I feel like this is really an important kind of thing to pass on to the next generation in terms of our health and well-being and our ability to like really be empathetic human beings. Because it's not just rest and sleep. It's really like the ability to pause, the ability to really listen, the ability to breathe and remember to breathe deeply And we definitely have to teach some of these things, I feel like, to children, you know, just the ability to like see contemplation as a value, you know. Mm-hmm. And I do have to say that I really feel the land gives us permission to do a lot of these things. Mm. And so, I mean, any kind of natural environment helps facilitate this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do move a lot slower where we live. And, you know, we have this backdrop, this silhouette of the Ortiz Mountains around us that is like, looks like a sleeping bear curled mm-hmm. up, laying down. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like beckoning us to do this. And so, you know, like when my kids and I are outside playing, like sometimes they'll initiate this now, but I think probably I did beginning, like, we'll just like lay down, you know, and kids yeah. love to do that. You know, it's so fun to like, you know, so we'll just like, we have a small patch of grass. Sometimes we'll lay down and we lay in different spots on our property. And sometimes it's just in our hammock. And just like look up at the sky, you mm-hmm. know, and just like encourage that presence in those moments, you know, noticing like the smallest details of the natural world and talking about them. And then with my 2-year-old Flora, she.
I was just going there in my mind because I'm like, my two older kids are so like. They can handle, you know, pausing and just sitting and resting and finding stillness. But then I'm like, but my 2-year-old is the one that always gets in the way. Well, he turns 3 in a few days, so he's getting there.
Oh, they're close. She turns 3 in August. So okay. Yeah, I totally, I'm right there with you. but the way that I do with her is, I mean, she's still napping mm-hmm. and I actually lay down with her. Hmm. And this is not something I did with my son, but we after I like sing to her before her nap, I just lay there and I do some really deep breaths. Mm-hmm. And immediately she started following what I was doing. Hmm. Like, this is what you do, you know? Mm-hmm. And so now, as soon as I stop singing, I hear her like, like a really kind of forced, you know, breathing in and breathing out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just those simple ways that they mimic us, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, and then sometimes I actually do take a little nap with her, not mm-hmm. all the time, but I really cherish that 15 minutes of quieting down with her, no matter what I have going on in my life. I schedule things around that, and that's kind of like a little sanctuary I keep.
Mm, I love that.
But then also I find when we draw together as a family, which we do a lot, we'll just all gather at the kitchen table and draw. Like oftentimes it's very quiet. Mm. Like there isn't a lot of talking going on when we're doing that. We're very focused, and I kind of just let that be like, consciously not use that as a time to catch up on other things.
Right. I think even that sometimes, you know, like eating a meal together, I'm like, oh, I should be talking to my kids right now. Like we should be having this moment of connection and be in conversation. It's like, I can't even just, you know, sit there and enjoy food with them sometimes. I mean, I can, but there's that voice in the back of my head that's like, you should be using every moment for like, you know, for something. There should be value there. And it's, I guess what it comes down to is I just really don't have a good practice of valuing rest. Like, yeah, I'm just really realizing this talking to you.
Well, I think that's a very common. I mean, I think our culture mm-hmm. doesn't value rest.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a way, we're kind of living like an anti-capitalistic lifestyle up mm-hmm. here. You know, we don't run around a lot. I particularly don't like, you know, schedule a lot of extracurricular activities. Like, I feel like our whole life is extracurricular.
Right.
You know, like, and I have to trust in that. But I definitely grew up in a family where we spent like a lot of time quiet, you know, And there was definitely like a phase where my parents were both exploring macrobiotic eating, in which you have to chew each bite like 30 something times and you're not supposed to talk.
Oh my gosh.
So, I mean, just that right there, like growing up with that kind of, you know, experiments and behavior. I mean, there's just so many different ways to do things. And we value in this culture, like a very productive, extroverted way of being. But so many people are introverted too. And like those people, that way of life doesn't get valued. And it's very common. We push ourselves to be extroverted sometimes when we could just be, you know, honest with ourselves and just like, walk without talking with your friend, you know, and what, you know, it's just, sometimes we're just filling space, I feel like.
Definitely. Instead of like experiencing the space with our senses or, like with our breath or, I don't know. I just find and I have been practicing this so much more recently, that I find when I am able to have that stillness, like I can't help but find gratitude.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I mean, it's so overwhelming sometimes. You know, and it's like we keep just pushing beyond onto the next thing. And I don't know, like I've really been feeling that the last couple of weeks, just like when I allow myself to receive it, you know, there is so much to be grateful for.
And we need it. Like we forget that we need it. Like it's just, it's a part of our care for ourselves.
Yeah. And that too, you know, just allowing yourself to, I don't know, like see what you are accomplishing and what you're doing in the moment. But like, if you don't hold that in contrast with rest and stillness, like how do you actually appreciate it, you know? Good. This is so good. Mira, let's talk a little bit more about your art. I want to hear, you know, kind of just like practically, how are you making time for your studio practice and what is that looking like for you these days? I know you have more of a detached lifestyle where you're not as like busy with extracurriculars or maybe involved in like, you know, a lot of community things, but, you know, you still have young kids at home. And so just interested to hear about your rhythms in terms of your art practice and, you know, maybe some of the challenges of like getting into a studio mindset when you're drawn to these other things.
Yeah. I mean, I think at different times of year, my rhythms really shift. And I do give myself a lot of permission, like to have periods of time where I'm not making anything. Because for me, so much of my making happens in my mind first. And so I'm often like, you know, with my children and like an idea will come and I'm jotting things down, like always have the ability to just keep my practice going in my mind, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, you started out kind of saying that the overlap of art and life is really essential to you. So that makes sense.
Yeah, and I've been trying really hard ever since I stopped, you know, working a day job, to just not compartmentalize my life. And I actually feel just as productive. It's very interesting. And so I often feel like, you know, as mothers and artists, we don't have a lot of extra time, you know, to, so in some ways if we have intentions to keep our production going, like when we actually do have time, I feel like we're like super artists in a way. We can like, for some reason, I feel like this, like when I'm, once I get ready to actually make something, it's like a lightning bolt thing happens.
Yeah.
And like, it happens way faster than I would have thought. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of just, I mean, it's just interesting. I mean, sometimes I'm engaging my children in my process, but that's, when it feels like it would be really fun for them. Mm-hmm. But other times I'm just, you know, I do take a couple of hours after the kids go to sleep to either like, I kind of alternate like sort of being time with my husband and then also just time for myself and my mm-hmm. work. And so I have created more of a habit since Flora was born of working at night. Okay. But not like late into the night, like pulling all critters. I feel like just like sometimes 2 hours, what I can do if I have it planned in my head or, you know, basic ideas of something I want to do, like it's amazing. I feel mm-hmm. like what I can do in that time. Mm-hmm. So I don't really feel like being a mother of two young children really like has hindered my practice, as long as I just feel like I let go of that mindset that I feel mm-hmm. like definitely gets passed down through art education and other avenues. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like less distraction in my life is really helpful for that.
What kind of studio do you have? And do you let your kids in the studio? Is it like a community space, or is it kind of more, you know, your space that you keep some boundaries up with?
It's changed at different points, especially since we've lived here. I mean, there are times if I have a big project I'm working on where I have like tables in every room of the house.
Yes.
even like when my daughter was a baby, like I had this big table in her room. And so, you know, sometimes it's scattered all over, although we just over this winter, we have this big kind of metal workshop garage that we cleaned out and renovated, or my husband did. And now we have this kind of communal space in which we all have areas. My kids have a table. I have a space and my husband has a woodworking area. And we're really just starting to get into a new rhythm where we like all go down there for a couple hours. But it's very new mm-hmm. To have this like separated space. But I do like having little projects in the house. Like mm-hmm. I feel like I like for my kids to see me doing something that I love mm-hmm. And have that be a part of our daily life. Even if it's just not an art project, but it's like a textile, you know, I made this braided rug a couple of months ago that I just was like, you know, I love just doing that process while they're playing next to me, right. You know? So it takes all different forms. Mm-hmm.
You seem like a person who's very okay with change and evolution. And I'm just wondering about, I don't know, when you do commit to a project or something in your mind and it's not jiving with your family rhythm, or like it doesn't feel as harmonious, I guess, to like just make it happen when you might have a deadline or you might be working for like, you know, a big project or something that you want to do with your career, like how do you kind of process when things don't always just like flow naturally, I guess?
I feel like this is when my husband like really comes into the picture. Like, I feel like we need like my husband and my like family compound, mm-hmm. you know, like My son Levi is now 8 years old. He can walk a mile down the road to my mom's house by himself. There's nobody out here. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and so sometimes like, you know, I need my community more, you mm-hmm. know, and my community really is my family. And they've been so supportive when I have big projects mm-hmm. and I kind of prep them that that yeah. could be coming. And I am, even though I've like, I am a planner and like, I will work, you know, 2 to 3 years out on a project, you know, mm-hmm. and work, like figure out how to do something like slowly and methodically over a long period of time, rather than like cram it into like the you know, 2 months straight, you know?
Yep.
So,
and maybe having less on, like, are you more, you work on a couple big things over the course of a longer time rather than like many small things, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm like completely content if I have one big project a year. You know, like I am not trying to get a lot done all the time. Mm-hmm. Like I just need to know that what I'm doing feels like really right and satisfying and authentic. And I'm trying to figure out how to balance that with actually, you know, making a living off my work, mm-hmm. which,
yeah, that, of course, that's in the back of my mind. I'm like, but how does she make money?
yeah, it's real. yeah. And, but it's interesting. Like, I don't know if it's just like the flow of the past few years, but the more I commit to these few authentic projects, like, monetary opportunities have come my way because I've said, like, I've made an intention that I want to, you know, in the next 5 years, you know, be able to make half of our living as a family, mm-hmm. you know? And so it's interesting when you just make like a overall intention like that, mm-hmm. you make little decisions. Like now I feel like I'm making 50% more saleable work, 50% large scale, like big vision projects. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to balance those two things and be more conscious about it, but I'm not trying to churn things out either.
Right. You're not like in the hustle. You're more like, I have these big goals and I'm going to say no to whatever doesn't kind of line up with those goals.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. And I'm not pursuing a whole lot. Mm-hmm. Like I've been lucky enough to have a lot come to me through like relationships that I've spent a long time building over time, mm-hmm. Which I feel like is like the most important, you know, connector in that mm-hmm. way.
Okay. But does the productivity hustle culture ever get to you? Like, do you ever feel like, oh, I should be doing more as an artist? Like I should be producing, I should be showing, I should be, right? Like, how do you kind of combat those feelings? Because I know there's so many people listening who are like, I just don't relate with her mindset because I feel so, you know, kind of bombarded with all of these things that we feel like we should be doing. And so I'm just curious, like, do you ever feel that way? And how have you built up this resistance to that?
Yeah. Well, there must be something in me that like is innately wants everything to be slower. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that mm-hmm. that's like a personality thing. Mm-hmm. But also like, I'm barely on social media. Mm-hmm. Like when I go on, I love seeing what my friends are doing, like especially friends that I know in person, you know, that mm-hmm. mean a lot to me. And so I go on to touch base with that. But if I go on too much, that's when that like anxiety starts to come. Like, oh, I should be using Instagram to promote myself. I should be selling work on Instagram. Like, and it once I start to feel that like pressure raise, I like something in me shuts down. And I like, I take like 10 steps back and I'm like, okay, I don't need to go on Instagram for another few weeks, you know? So I just, you know, I feel like the quickness of social media, which I totally see the value in it in so many ways. And I'm definitely not completely off of it.
Right.
But, it gives me anxiety, I'll be honest. And it makes me feel, it gives me that like less than feeling like, unless I just focus on like a few friends that I want to check out that I miss and I want to see what they're doing. But if I let the feed just like take me, you know, it doesn't feel good to me. So I kind of just go with that. This doesn't feel good. And then I just stop it.
Yeah. I mean, I talked about this last week in an episode about Instagram, but I have to like be there for a specific intention or purpose, like to show up as a creator and like give something. And then it's like, I'm out, you know, like I'm not that whole, I'm just going to consume it and let it affect me. Like that's a lesson I've really had to like learn and set up some boundaries around because it just, your mindset is so different, you know, when you're there to kind of, I don't know, mask whatever other feelings you really need to probably be processing and feeling, right? And you're just kind of numbing, like when it's a numbing experience. And then you either have increased anxiety or increased shame or whatever it is. Like I have to be really planned out and intentional with the way that I use it. And I feel good about that. Like, I don't feel, like, it doesn't affect me in ways that it used to when I wasn't as, like, I'm showing up here to do this, you know?
I know. I was excited to listen. I haven't listened yet, but I'm really want to hear your perspective on that.
Yeah.
I think that would be really helpful for me.
And I do it all on the computer, which also helps because I just don't like being kind of scrunched down over my phone, you know?
Yeah. And kids really notice that too.
Absolutely.
Like if I have a day where I'm emailing on my phone next to them, especially my older son will start to comment. And as soon as he does that, I'm like, okay, this is not right.
Right.
I got to save this for later. Nothing is that urgent.
Absolutely. Oh, Mira, this is so good. I want to have a few more questions just to close. And then I don't want to put you on the spot, although I'm going to. And if you don't want to do this, we can edit this out. But would you, after I ask you these last few questions, would you do just like a 3-minute meditation for us?
Sure.
Would that be okay? The one that you did on the morning show was just so good. And I just thought, you know, maybe we can wrap up this episode with you creating a space, you know, or helping us hold a space for artist mothers just to have a moment of stillness. So I'm gonna, like I said, ask you just a couple more questions. And then if you're okay, we'll kind of ease out of the episode with that.
Sure. I would love to do that.
Yes. I'm sorry. I meant to email it to you and I forgot. And then I was like, oh, I just need her to bring me into meditation as we wrap up this conversation. So, Mira, this is a new question that I've come up with, and I love asking it. I'm excited to continue to ask my artist this, who I interview. But I'm just curious where you were 5 years ago in your art career, and where do you hope to be in 5 years?
Both are really good questions. You know, as I said earlier, I think our move from Detroit to rural New Mexico, which was a little over 5 years ago, deeply influenced my work and my life and slowed our lives down a lot. And then also you know, trusting enough in my own practice that I didn't have to balance it with outside work, just really helped me like apply so many of my innate skills, professional skills and energy to my immediate environment. And this thus gave me like this ability to make longer term visions for myself and for my family and for my communities. So I guess that's sort of looking back the past 5 years, those are the kind of large scale thoughts. And now I'm, you know, along with whatever I'm doing to a day-to-day basis, I'm thinking of this, long-term land-based site-specific project on our property, which is really large scale. I mean, it could take 20 years to complete or a lifetime. But it's called the Sleeping Huts, and there are these three artistic cabin-like spaces here in the mountains on our land. And one is going to be devoted for a family, and one for a couple, and one for a single person. And the spaces are each going to be designed around a unique bed and this like completely sensorial restorative sleep experience.
Awesome.
Yeah. And I really want them to be accessible to people that like really need that kind of care. And so I'm hoping to devote a lot more time in the next 5 years to like the research and planning for that, and getting support for that project and creating maybe an artist book that shares the vision and can help me fundraise. And then there's just so many collaborative opportunities with that that I really want to explore in the next 5 years.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. Five quicker questions that I always wrap up with just to help those listening get to know you better. Who's your biggest art crush?
Well, I don't know if I really have art crushes per se, but recently I participated in a really meaningful virtual sound bath by Guadalupe Maravilla. And it was a part of his exhibition, The Seven Ancestral Stomachs. And it was so powerful. He made these sculptural works that were shrines and instruments simultaneously. And he led you through an hour-long sound experience that created, you were supposed to lay down in your space, and it created these vibrational healing feelings in your body. And he's led a lot of different experiences like that. So I've just been so excited exploring his work.
That sounds great. Okay, what is your favorite place to travel or a dream trip you'd like to go on?
Oh, this is exciting to think about after being quarantined for a year. Well, my husband and I are really drawn to traveling to the Big Island of Hawaii, to the Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. And we're just really interested in that volcanic activity and this kind of sleeping and waking qualities of the landscape. And he wants to explore sound there. And I think we also really want to be like, spend a chunk of time close to water again, living in the desert. So that's really like a trip that we've been thinking about for a while, but haven't quite made happen yet.
I hope it gets to happen for you.
Oh, thank you.
What film or book has inspired you greatly?
Well, immediately, like what's by my bed right now is Resma Menakem's My Grandmother's Hands, which is a book about racialized trauma and healing our bodies and our hearts. And it's such a cool book because at the end of each chapter, he like gives you exercises to actually really quiet yourself and feel in your body what he's talking about. And I'm also, we're exploring that book as a group with our small little
artist mother group in New Mexico here.
Oh, wonderful.
And so that's been such an important like community experience. And then like my longtime favorite book is The Poetics of Space by Gaston Bachelard, the philosophy book on how we experience intimate spaces.
Mm-hmm.
That's like something I always come back to.
Mm. Okay, what is your favorite meal?
Oh, anything vegetarian and Italian.
Yes, I am there with you. there's a lot of amazing things that can fit under that category. I'm just thinking about all of them right now.
Yeah.
Okay, Mira, lastly, in my final five, just like to give you a space to give a shout out to someone who you want to thank for supporting you in your work.
Oh, yes. So first, I'm just so grateful to my family and our compound here in the mountains. That's really been a sanctuary the past year, with everything going on. And then secondly, like, I just feel such a sense of care and community from our small art practice, mother practice group of artist mothers in New Mexico, that we meet monthly, and we just have such a stripped down, authentic experience, really support each other emotionally. And I just feel such like unconditional love from that group and intellectual stimulation. And we've only been meeting for the past couple of years, but it's been really crucial for me. And so I really get why the Artist Mother Network is like an important home to you and others. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just incredible how you've nurtured this community. And I feel honored to like be invited in to start to learn more about the community and the space you've created. It's super special.
Oh my gosh. You're already doing it on your own. Like we're all, you know, we all just are trying to figure out how we can better support each other, which is what makes us special, I think.
Yeah.
Mira, where can people find out more about your work? Like where, if they do want to find you on Instagram, where are you and your website?
My website is matterology.com. It's not incredibly updated, but good as I could do. And then I'm Matterology on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Form and Concept Gallery is an amazing gallery in Santa Fe that has some of my work. So that's another way to see some work.
Beautiful. Will you give us a meditation to close?
Oh, yes. Yes, I will. So for anyone who's listening, if you can just get comfortable wherever you are and gently close your eyes. You could be sitting in a chair with your hands resting on your lap, or if you have a minute to lay on the floor or the couch, just close your eyes and begin to become aware of your breath. And just take note of any tension in your body. Breathing in healing energy and breathing out just any discomfort. And, you know, feel free to release a sound on the exhale if it feels good to just let that out. And just take a few long, deep breaths. And if you can imagine a golden thread attached to your breath and making a complete loop from your belly to your lungs and up to your head and back down again. And just continue to follow this delicate threads loop breathing in ease and breathing out whatever you need to release from your day, from your mind, from your body. And just keep following that thread. And if you're not laying down, just imagine yourself laying down, supported by the most comfortable place you've ever slept. Could be a childhood bed, your bed now, a sleeping bag somewhere special, a place that was filled with comfort and peace, wholeness and relaxation. Feel the pleasure of the smooth sheets on your skin or the warm blanket or comforter over you, embracing you. And feel your head cradled, melting into your soft pillow. Your body is just surrendering to gravity. The bed is holding you. The floor is holding the bed. The earth is holding the floor. And imagine the 4,000 miles underneath you to the center of the earth. You are completely supported. The earth's layers are soft and strong. They can hold all of your challenges, all of your joy. Here you can rest, surrender, let go. Remember, the earth is your first bed. And begin to just draw your attention back to your breath, feeling your chest rising and lowering naturally with each breath. Your breath is always here for you. And when you are ready, just slowly open your eyes. Come back to sitting up if you need to. Take your time.
I think I'm ready for bed now.
Oh, good. I'm so glad we had this conversation in the evening.
I know, right before bed. I'm so relaxed now. To all of you who did not get to enjoy that during a peaceful moment, make sure you go back in and just let Mira put you to sleep before bed tonight, because I'm about to head that way. Mira, thank you so much. What a pleasure to talk with you about sleep and rest and your beautiful life and your artist mother practice. Just really appreciate you taking the time, and just so grateful for this episode kind of helping us, you know, dive into a season of Sabbath and rest for our community and inviting more rhythms of peace into, you know, how we interact with each other. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure. That's so beautiful. I'm going to just sit with this image of like a ton of people taking sabbaticals.
And me too.
Cherishing this part of their lives. Mm. And that brings me great joy. And I'm so appreciative of all the ways you support artists.
Thanks, Mira.
The Artist Mother Podcast is curated and produced by Kaylin Butine. Music by Josh Middleton. Editing and mixing by John M. Butine. Please visit www.artistmotherpodcast.com for episode notes and to find out how you can further support this podcast.